that I'm different. Self-motivated, self-disciplined. Yeah, I learned from my experience. I just want someone.
Don't know. That's what they said.
That's the problem right there. So, what
I,
what my, our best bet is probably to do is when I need to talk to them, see about listing that property. Because, so, here's the problem. So, if that won't get them out there more,
they not. I would almost have to say yes. There's no way you could sell me a house at a deficit to buy a house and not be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I'm just trying to get there.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's like, once again, I guess I figured that part out.
Yeah. You get where I come from, right?
Yeah. Yes. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another Suffering Voice, man. Hey, as you see, the title and what we're talking about already, we're getting to the money. Today is the topic. We know we're getting the money. But first, I got to introduce who we got on the show today. Hey, first, of course, I got to go to one of my favorite co-hosts. The one that's always here. The one that's never, well, he's late today, y'all. But, hey, he always on time, ready to bring in his two cents and his input, and the entrepreneur king of this area, Mr. Eli Alexander.
Yeah, man. We lit live back. Just off the plane from LA, it hadn't even been a full 24 hours. I'm really like from Cali.
Going back to Cali.
We did a 3-hour job from New Orleans.
Hey, that's the best way, cheapest flight. Hey, if people don't know, you get some cheap flights out of New Orleans to go anywhere in the world. Hey, I had found a $50 flight from there to Vegas. I was like, you fucking shitting me. And shout out to my cousin Benita for telling me that. I got another new guy on. Man, how do I explain this guy in the words? Family ain't that's the table. They ain't the threshold where me and his relationship is. He's been my big brother, he's my cousin, he's been my guidance a lot in my adolescent years. Adolescent years, you know. He a fellow Aquarius. This is a guy that I know if I'm in some shit, he's the person I need to call or anything else.
Tough.
But yeah, without further ado, my cousin Anthony Hunter.
I'm here.
Welcome to From Boys to Men, Anthony. Yes, y'all know, if y'all don't know who I am, y'all need to go back to 100 episodes and rewatch every damn episode, because how the fuck you don't know who the fuck I am? I'm tearing Mr. Damn King in this bitch. Excuse my language, y'all. It's been, I missed my therapy appointment today, so. I'm going through some things, but the first thing I need to do correct is my finances. And I got the two top people in here that can help me correct my finances, not just correct mine, help you correct yours. So without further ado, I'm going to present to you. Well, what's the first topic going to be? You know what? We're going to start with generational wealth, y'all. Because that's something we don't see in our community right now as much other communities see. And I'm trying to figure out how can we, first as a person, you're individual, then as a community, get to a point where we're thriving versus dying, like unlike other communities. Yeah. How about you?
It's a couple ways. You know, I'm coming with that fire. You're coming straight out to get the fire.
Yes, sir.
One of the ways, so I've said on the show multiple times, you know, I come from a Muslim background, right? So I grew up around very different cultures, whether it's Arabs, Asians, Indians, Palestinians, Libya, you name it. One of the ways that they kind of operate when it comes to building each other up, especially when they come from America, is that they work together. What I mean by working together, I mean by mom, auntie, brother, sister, everybody staying in one house and everybody saving up money for a specific goal. And then, you know, when everybody has a certain amount of money saved, that they put in their dream into this nail salon, this barbershop, right? This or real estate investment, and they moving as a unit up until they building each, and they building everybody up to where they're able to buy their own property, people, you know, specifically like black people, or just, you could, any race can really apply this shit. But if you're not working together, it's going to be very, very hard for you to accomplish anything at all. If you don't have a team, perfect example. So a lot of people recently, you know, a lot of people know me from working with Hitty Gang.
Yeah,
we work as a union. They doing the trip, I'm doing the trip. When I'm doing the trip, they doing the trip. We all working together for one same goal. It's the same scenario, but it first starts with working together. Black people gotta learn how to work with each other. And also black parents gotta learn how to work with each other when it comes to understanding, like, okay, when this child graduates high school, not to kick them out, as soon as they turn 18, just expect them to know how to handle life or whatnot.
Well, we setting them up for that at 16.
Exactly. So you set them up for failure. So
because I remember my mom used to tell me, "Hey, get ready." I was like, "Man, I ain't even got a job. How the hell you talking about play sports 24/7?"
Exactly. Especially when you are already at a disadvantage because your family is not coming from wealth, So. It makes no sense to kick somebody out, you know, when they struggling. They're already struggling themselves. They don't know how to do nothing. You didn't teach them no skill for those past 18 years.
Right.
You sent them to school to learn absolutely nothing to prepare them
to be
a worker and to go to college with no skill set. So while they're in college, they have no skill set to make money. They don't know how to sell. They don't know how to cut hair. They don't know how to braid hair. They don't know how to do nothing. So you just expecting this 18-year-old to go out here and you put them at a disadvantage because you put them on the street where they have absolutely no way to function at all. But what you could do is what a lot of black parents could do is a lot of black parents could work together, okay.
Sponsor the kids.
Billy, you just turned 18, all right? You can stay here up until, 25, 26.
Yeah.
All you got to do, maybe you shoot me some money on the rent. Shoot me some money on the rent, or matter of fact, don't pay me nothing. Save your money. Let's work together. Let you, your sister, your auntie, let's all save up $10,000 this year and go in on an investment property. Let's do that. Let's go in on a barbershop,
right?
Or something that's going to turn into profit. Skill. Or even throughout those 18 years, maybe us work together, you stay at home, we all working, we saving money, but we're all learning skill sets that will help us be able to land on our feet when we do decide to leave home. So in my culture, in Muslim culture, you're not, as a man, you can't leave the house if you can't buy a house. Which I think is one of the smartest things.
That's smart.
I mean, why would you put me out otherwise?
Exactly.
I'm trying to be big Eli. He's short, so I'm trying to be big Eli. Shoot.
I think to kind of echo what he said, the first thing starts with the parents.
Yeah.
And I think that I listen to a lot of parents, and we talk about what we're wanting our kids to do. And I recently encountered a parent who kind of not necessarily forced his son to go to school, but kind of as all our parents did, showed us that was probably the smartest thing to do or military or something of that nature.
Yeah,
so he goes to college, right?
Right?
So gets the degree, acquires the debt with the degree.
Right.
So now dad suggests that he go to the military.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying either of those suggestions are right or wrong, but I'm saying that you only want him to make that decision because of a financial move, because he has that debt. And the other thing is that he has that debt. Why?
Because
he listened to his daddy and went to college. So at that point, we're questioning him as a young man, like you said, without the skill of learning how to make money, not to work at a job, but how to make money and understand the way currency works and things move, we're expecting more than we do. And like you said, with a lack of teaching prior to putting them out there, what are you expecting them to do? So then you kind of get to, when you're 18, I think the question, it's a hard question, I'm tough. start asking yourself as a parent, at what situation is my child going through? Is my money worth more than helping them? Right. Because essentially you're not saying that I'm not giving you my money because you're a certain age, but if I need help to get me to the other side of financial prosperity and I'm 20, you're not willing to do that? It's cool. I mean, I'm not judging. It's not for me to say, but I'm asking, at what point does any religious belief or any culture believe that you're no longer a parent because of the age? Mm-hmm. So if you always want to teach, why do you choose to kick them out to continue to teach? So I think that, like you stated, culture is the first thing that we kind of got to break with that. And then, like, teaching the skill, I think that going back to a time where you did what your parents did, you may not like it, but I think a lot of the time we try to mix happiness with what we do to make money. And I think that's the wrong thing to do. Like, we choose to live in certain cities to make money, and we're away from the things that may really be important to us. So I think sometimes we kind of got to get a difference between what we're maybe willing to do to make money and then what we're wanting to do to be happy. Right. And separate those two things versus saying, I'm going to go to this college to get a degree to work in this field and move to this city. Then later find out, man, I wish I was at home with my family because something popped off and you made all those decisions because of finances. You go to this college because of finances. You get this job because of finances. So what really is your God at that point there?
And then that's another thing too. What I add on to that is that what a lot of us have to do is, especially parents, so I'm not a parent, you know, I just turned 23, you know, but I'm an analyzer. So I analyze everything and I always hang out with. The problem that I see, like, with a lot of parents, especially in the black community, is more so when it comes to building us up, okay, you giving us dad. So I didn't really grow up with my real father. So, I had a father figure
right.
who kind of instilled in me what I should be doing. The one thing that I noticed that a lot of father figures don't instill into kids, men, girls, or whatever, is the skill of how to provide. Aside from, okay, so when we graduate from college, you tell us to go to college again. Most people, they're going to cure some debt. Yeah. Okay, so that's already putting me a step back.
At a deficit.
Yeah. If most black families focus on learning or teaching our kids skill sets,
right.
A lot of black people will be making 6+ figures right out of high school.
Right.
So imagine if, okay, going back to what you were saying, imagine if, okay, my dad was a barber. Dad taught me from 5 to 18 right. how to be a barber,
right.
how to start a barbershop,
right.
how to get leads,
right?
Because that's all has to do with the business, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, it's more so, okay, if you don't have the skill of how to gain leads and make money, how can you survive for yourself? What happens if you lose that job? Mm. What if you can't get a job? Mm. I give you a perfect example, transparent moment. I'm a full-time entrepreneur, full-time college student too. I've been trying to get a job for like the past 8 months. I've not had no luck getting job at all.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So, but I have to rely on my skill sets, and you know, I know how to sell. Learn how to sell. I taught myself how to sell.
Yeah.
I hired coaches who taught me how to sell. So I know how to go on the street and be like, hey, you guys wear oils? You like smell good? Okay, you want to buy one? Something like that. I learned the skill of selling. I learned the skill of marketing. I learned the skill of negotiating. But if more parents taught us how to utilize our skills or utilize skills to make money or utilize their skills and what they use to make money before graduating high school, versus, okay, you putting us at 18, okay, as soon as you graduate, go to college, figure that shit out.
Right.
I'm gonna be real with you. When I went to college, I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do.
At all.
That's why I failed two semesters.
Hey, trust me. I think that's like everybody, because, well, I ain't everybody, because a lot of these people that come from, like, it's funny, you look at if their parents are a doctor, or their parents are a lawyer, or their parents are somebody to make 6 figures. They already knew what they're going to college for. And half of them, they know how to play the system to get to where they need to get to faster. Because, like, a lot of people that are doctors, that go for their doctorate, be doc, like, actual doctors, and people that go to be lawyers, I found out, guess what most of their undergrads in? Music. They undergrad is in music. Because, really, your undergrad don't mean shit. You really just, hey, get in, get all these A's, get good grades, take the easiest motherfucking undergrad. After that, boom.
But I think that goes back to them knowing the system, like you said, at the point where they're probably financially better off if the careers that you name, doctors, lawyers, and things like that, they financially have it together. And like you said, are probably directing their children in a way. I know a family, and they're all lawyers.
Yeah.
Right? And or all doctors, and or all car salesmen, and or all, you know, car detailers. And once again, if dad is already successful, all I got to do is come in and start learning to make money. Now, that's the one part where I think we all have the entrepreneur skill, or a skill, to use a talent, a gift, whatever you want to call it. I think where we falter in the community a lot is not teaching finance. Maybe because we don't know it. You know, me and my mom sit down a lot and talk, and we go back and she, you know, say, I was dead wrong. And I was like, yeah, I know. I tried to tell you. You know, you didn't want to hear me then, but I'm glad you listen to me now.
You hear me now.
And, you know, but I appreciate that, though, because now, you know, having a child, you know, I want to make sure I'm putting him in the best situation and not just using the exact same parenting that was used then now. And I don't think it's as relevant. I think that, I mean, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say it's not relevant. But I think that we have to evolve it, because I still do believe in the principles.
Yeah.
I am old school and country at heart.
Yep.
So spare the rod, spoil the child. Sure. I'm with all of that. But I don't just want to beat my kid. I don't think that that's how you develop a relationship, with beating anything or anybody. And so, yeah, I think that's a huge deal with communication. So, you know, learning, you know, what we did wrong, and then being able to change that for our children and pass that on. So once again, having the relationship to be able to tell your kids, hey, I was wrong when I was teaching this. I talked to my mom. My mom is my mom loves school. My mom said she'd be a career student.
Oh yeah.
Shaking my head. You can do whatever you like, but that's just not for me. I only went because you made me. And so I told her some months ago, I was like, going to school is not, I wish, you know, maybe I would have knew something different. I said I probably would have still went to college because I went to play sports. And I think that that's where I learned to be an entrepreneur, in the mindset, especially all the stuff I had going on then.
Yeah.
Early on, like, I probably a couple $100,000 before I was 22 years old, and my mama hadn't done that, or, you know, other people around. So I guess, but I still lost it all because didn't know finance. So I think that, like I said, that goes back to teaching the finance and teaching them how to operate. But like you said, normally when they're wealthy, they know that game and they're able to teach that game to their kids. Right. So, you know, whether we have it or not, we still need to learn it, and we still need to teach it and coach it, you know, to teach our kids finance, and that may shape their decisions a little bit different.
Right. Yeah. We was talking about, like, a little bit about, like, kids and family, like, how played into it, because, like, I'm talking about how, like,
the lawyers.
People that are lawyers and everything, they parents, they usually, like, they stay in the family. Yeah. The next generation, boom, you just want to be taking over the law firm after they do.
That's just the conversation of working together. We have to work together.
Yeah.
So when you're working together, you're actually working together.
Yeah.
You're actively being transparent.
Right.
Okay. Because, you know, a lot of parents, they like to give you, you know, I say life advice. You know? Me and my mama have real conversations. We have real conversations on how, okay, what we need to do. So within the next 3 years, this is what we're gonna do. This is what we're working towards. This is what we gotta do. So if more people had that conversation with their parents, it might be easier. But also, parents have to stop looking at kids as if, okay, they're a kid. They just supposed to live the same life that you live.
But better than what you tell them.
But better than what you tell them. But But you also have to give them, you know, the opportunity. Give them good game, but don't kind of try to, you know, manage their own time.
I think that's ultimately what's hard to do, too, because the transparency is not there. See, and a lot of parents are just keeping it real. They don't want to admit what they did wrong. So by not being able to do that, we can't have that conversation with you now because you got to admit what you did wrong, and you're not going to do that.
Exactly. And now, here's what I will say, another thing, too. So a lot of people don't like to admit, okay, when I was 22 or when I was 21, this is what I did.
This is where
I went wrong. Versus just saying, okay,
don't do this.
I'm finna go to the club. Nah, you don't need to go to the club. Nah. So I'm like, bro, why? And then when it's why, it's like, okay, because I said so. But if you give that kid that transparency, if you give them that transparency, they're more, okay, dad, I see where you're coming from, okay? Good thinking, okay? What can I do to avoid that situation, right? Or maybe you could come to me as a parent, it's like, okay, hey, when I was your age, or when I went to the club, this is what I did. So you going to the club tonight, this is what you should do, or what I think you should do to not end up in the situation that I was in.
Yeah.
Versus just saying, okay, because I said so, okay, don't worry about it. Or like they don't want to have that real transparent relationship. You know, if we just had that real transparent relationship, you know, our lives would be so much easier. Or in the relationship would be so much easier, too. Because it's like, okay, you're not just being a parent. You're coming from a real place that I can relate to.
Now you got some substance behind it.
Yeah, some substance
behind it. Because substance, like, how I put it. I have grown, like, I've been having full conversations with my son, like a grown man, since he's been like 3 or 4. And everybody's like, you know, he's 3 and 4. I'd be like,
yeah, granddaddy used to do that thing.
Yo, like, I'm just looking, I was like, people looking at me like I'm weird. Like, yo, he can't understand you. I was like, look, I'm talking, he understands the fuck I'm saying. Hey, he playing y'all for the fool. He ain't playing me. Because I'm waiting for, like, once my son, I can tell he can grasp some stuff for real. Now we can go on to the next level. Now you can tell me, like, all right, what I told you. Now, speak back to me in your words what you took from it. Because, like, if I don't condition him that now, I can't never know he going to be able to think for himself and come up with his own viewpoint of what I said. Even if I don't like what he came up with. I just got to learn, like, boom, I got to accept it. Now, it's different from, like, I'm asking him to answer a question. And I'm like, hey, you read this thing, and it says the dog is black, and you say the dog is red. No, you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You ain't paying attention to detail. I can't trust you with some stuff if you ain't paying attention to details and whatever we decide to do. But, man, hey, I wish my mom was as transparent with me as I am with my son. Cause I don't sugarcoat shit no matter how old he is. I let him know. But you gotta learn these core things in order to just be successful with anything you do in life, no matter what you decide to do.
But I think that's the evolution of, and I think that's where we have to look at, like, you know, like you were saying, my father wasn't in my life, but I had plenty of guys to, you know, my uncles, you know what I'm saying, people to show me what was what.
Right.
And so I could never use that as an excuse.
Right.
But I felt that maybe the direction would have been different. You know what I'm saying? Had things maybe been present, and or like he said, my great grandfather used to kind of have some too soon conversations. Some real too soon conversations.
Yes, sir.
He was probably in some real too soon places too. But you know, and like you said though, but later in life, as to what you're saying, like those things made so much sense to me. I can remember the famous story. The thing I remember, my great grandfather grabbed me by the shirt. I was pulling my 4 years old. And I can't remember who the situation was or who the person was, but it was a couple, and the young lady was going off on the guy and just dragging him. And, I mean, he just kind of just looked dogged out. He grabbed me by the shirt and said, "Don't you ever let no woman run you, boy. Don't you ever let no woman run you." And so I mean, eyes wide. The hell is he grabbing me for? You know, I have, you know. But later I understood that, and it is not that, you know, it's about women running you or you not making cohesive decisions together. It's not about, you can do that. But I think I understood, you know, what he meant about maybe order and how things have to start with you before you can decide to, you know. So those type of things, like you said, sharing with your kids, you know, later on they digest those things and they're able to think about them and then maybe comprehend them and take them. And I think it was the benefit having a younger mother. I watched her grow up.
Yeah.
I watched my mom grow up, and I was cognitive to see that. So don't you lie. I remember that. I remember when you went to jail that time. Don't try to play me.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I mean, those were the things that, like, you know, she was transparent. She just, because I remember.
Right.
And like you said, that was the way. She didn't stop me either. I think she, I think a lot of what you were saying is have a plan for your child.
Yeah.
Right.
Have a direction. And that goes for anything. Anybody that you want to have a relationship, what's your plan for that relationship? What do you want to see it go? What do you want to see it grow? So I think that, you know, with that being said, have a plan for your child at this. I want them to know this age and continue to move on. You know, teach them finance early on, teach them the value of money. I try to teach the value of time and not money.
Yeah.
Because you're ultimately trading your time for money.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're looking at what is the greatest asset, it appears to be time to me.
Yeah, that's big right there.
So I think with that being said, you know, we budget that more than we do money, because money is makeable, but time is not. So if those are the type of things that we're kind of starting there with, then I want to guide him, you know, in the life that he should live. He's not for me to kind of tell him what to do, because I just don't want to do that. But I want to, you know, put him in position and teach him to make the best decisions. So when he out there in the wild scenarios that I probably shouldn't have been in, I'm still sitting here with you now. So I want him to be able to navigate through those.
That's another thing I feel is missing, though. It's like, okay, a lot of parents, you know, you see your child to go to school from what, 3K to 12?
Yep.
You know, a lot of people don't want to send you to go to college and shit like that, which is cool. But outside of that, are y'all having life school? Are y'all having life lessons? Like, okay, if I get, okay, so, you know, I'm learning arithmetic, I'm learning algebra, I'm learning science, I'm learning biology. But at home, you know, if somebody punched me in my face,
oh yeah,
what do I do?
There's no need, because at that point, I'm not trying to be funny, this is crazy, but how can you have that conversation, like what you're saying? Because if you do that at a job, what's going to happen? You're going to get fired. So like you said, if somebody punched you in your face as a kid, you got to stop, because we teach you, you're going to get suspended if you fight. So you see what I'm saying? It's almost like, because you're putting them on that path, that's what it's going to be regardless. What you almost not having. The discussions you having is, figure out what you're going to do when you get up out of here. And almost got you wishing you want to get up out of here. So are you making bad decisions to get up out of here?
Matter of fact, that what happened with me. I remember, because my mama told me, because I was going to school, I didn't want to go to school in the first place. I wanted to join the Marines. Literally, with this close, mama signed the papers. Because I was 17.
Yep. I told him he was ignorant.
Hey, no, but this is the thing about it. Look, no, because look.
Oh, so you.
I was about to be a Marine.
Yeah.
But my mom made me go to college. She's like, look. You like, your grandma said go to college one time. Like, I ain't gonna lie. My GPA was bad. I was 1 point away on my AC2 score to go to USA, where my cousin and my sister and everybody was going at the time too. And my best friend at the time, he was about to go there, so we had all things planned out. So I was like, man, fuck this. I don't really want to go to school in the first place. I'm like this. I'm the person that, I was like, all right, I'm going to school, but what for? Like, honestly, I didn't know what I thought I was going to go to school for. I went to, and think about it, I went to West Florida. It's a tech school. It's like a trade school. And literally, he laughed because he know I'm telling the damn truth.
Listen,
I'm telling
this definition, though, like, seriously, and because we used to have these conversations, though, yeah. Like, I was telling him the other day, his mom used to call me, you need to talk to him. I was like, shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
yeah.
It's hard to have that conversation because he's seeing what I'm doing. I'm out here wilding. So I can't. What do you want me to do? I'm just kind of a little more polished at this point.
Right.
And like you said, it was all about the appearance. Like, I went to college.
Yeah.
But I did other things there also.
Yes.
So, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of hard, but I really think he was misunderstood. I think that, like, he had his own
vision of what he wanted, and because parents, and I'm not saying his parents, but I'm saying that, you know, like we direct to go to school. Yeah. And like you said, that's what everybody else was doing.
So
that's
I had
what
to do
I them. Told him to do, whether right or wrong, now that I stand here indifferent saying maybe that's not the best choice. But I was the one who was, man, you might as well. And then I'm thinking, like, his mama trying to force him to go here so I can watch him?
Yeah.
But I don't think this the best thing. Yeah. I don't think this gonna be good. Look,
I'm not gonna lie. If I don't know going to USA, because after I came out of the military, because I still went to the military, but at
that
first,
was lit,
yep, I was lit afterwards. Exactly. I was lit afterwards. Hey, Eli, if you understood.
You me right now.
No. hey, look. You at you, no offense, y'all at the bottom level where I was at. no, y'all doing your thing, but look, that was like y'all at the entrance of the door. Y'all ain't got to the good part yet. Y'all ain't got to the good part yet. But look, I'm telling you right now,
not me.
I was
modest, very modest.
<He was, laughs> But no, look, I kid you not. Like I said, I went to tech school. I took up engineering, right. So I was like, oh yeah, I make a lot of money with this. Boom. So I was like, all right, let me go ahead. PSC. Look, finally, the first thing I got was my financial aid check. Oh! Hey, when I got my first financial aid check, I didn't go to class. I was there everywhere else. Look, I was talking to the girl on the basketball team, Brandy Broom. Bro, me and her still talk to this day. We cool.
If you think that's crazy, bro.
Look.
I started college during COVID.
Oh yeah.
So we was getting them checks
every month. I know, but look, that's
and everybody dropped out. Yeah. Everybody who dropped out was still getting them checks.
Exactly.
We was lit.
Exactly. But look, I can't even.
I'm so uncomfortable right now, boy. I can't even talk boy. Like.
Hey, look, but no, back to this. So look, when I was going to school, I wasn't up there. Next thing, my mom's like, we paying for you to go to school. I say, y'all told me you got me for the first year. I ain't want to come to this shit. I'm doing this shit for y'all. They say, well, Uncle Sam wants you. I'm like, bro, you know, I say, at first I was trying to go that route. Now y'all trying to say, well, no one else wants you. Uncle Sam wants you. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. And it happened that same night, the Navy called. And I went in the next morning, looked at the stuff, signed my papers. My advanced score just expired. I had like an 87 on my ad at first. Had to go retake that thing. I was high when I took the advanced too. The first time in high school, once I got to grade school. But look, turn around.
That's probably generational. I think I tried Everclear for the first time. I took the ACT. That was rough.
Yeah. that's 100%.
I felt ACT, SAT. I felt all that shit.
Damn.
Like, it was to the point to where I thought if I didn't have, like,
yeah.
So, no, I was having trouble with the reading shit.
Oh, trust me. Also, that shit, everybody gets it. That's everybody's problem. that's everybody's problem.
But it wasn't because I didn't take the class, you know. I was coming from Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
So the rules in Orlando are different from right here.
Yeah.
So, it was like, you gotta take reading. If you don't pass this shit, you ain't not
graduating.
Then you gotta
go, yeah. Like,
what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cause,
funny
thing about. Look. Look,
so now the heat is on. I'm a bum.
Oh, no, look. Yeah, look, because look, we still had FCAT back then, too. So, look, the only reason how I graduated is because my ACT score on my reading was high enough
to count for
that. Yeah, it was high enough.
Boy, they
to
had
count.
Some stipulations.
But they had little loopholes and everything. This is how I knew I was done with school. Because that senior year, they was like, before I got the senior year, they was like, oh, all right, the LCAT science don't count. We just added this test. So I was like, oh, it don't count? I don't mean shit. Oh, I cruise the street. Next year's like, well, since you failed, you got to require to take another. So I was like, you motherfuckers just lied to me. But back to the college story. Because, look, didn't want to go there. I was like, Marine, boom. End up still going to the Navy. But then when I went to the Navy now, I went in with a whole different mindset. Because, like, I was about to be a Marine. I was like, a few and proud, you know, what whoopie-doo. Going to the Navy, came back out. I was like, "Bop!" I'm glad I went to the Navy because that's where I first met. Because I was in California. And that's when I started doing that network marketing shit, that changed my whole mindset. When I try to say it changed my whole mindset,
it did. Listen, I was about to fight, bro, too. Like, I was really about to fight, bro. Because, like,
I'm going to tell you, the first thing he told me when I was started doing this stuff, I'm going to tell you, I remember this conversation verbatim. He's like, hey, man, this is like a quick, get rich quick scene. You get your money, and you get out. This is all you do.
You know what I'm saying? Because I recognize that. Like, you said, I've been an entrepreneur since forever. Like, I've been selling CDs since I was 9. I was burning.
Mixtape.
I was doing stuff. Yeah. So, like you said, just the mindset, though. So,
that's me right now.
When I saw that, you know, I knew exactly what it was. But I was happy that he saw, you know what I mean? He saw greater. And what he was wanting was great. So, the motivation at the, you know what I'm saying, the reason behind it. So, his work ethic was crazy, though. He was working. Mm-hmm. But I was like, he don't fucking get it. He don't fucking get it. And he, you know what I mean? It was like you said, none of us did. Like, if I would have got it, I would have done something different with the damn money. Yeah. Dumbass didn't get it. So, knowing I failed too, I was like, I hope he get it. And I did it in the same way. I ain't never tell him nothing. He looked at me like, you gonna tell me what to do? Hell nah. That you fuck it up for yourself.
Hey, but guess what? I didn't fuck it up. I didn't fuck it up. Eli, they had a car program and everything. Once I got the BMW, I was like, shit. Y'all said don't do it. I went there and did it. Yep. That changed my whole mindset about every way I look at business now. Right. I was like, look. Even though they may see this, I can see something else. Like you said, like it's about how you look at the situation. I was like, all right, I can look at it like this. These motherfuckers making it work. They fat and ugly and making this shit work. Fat, short, ugly, and like, bro. I'm like, if these motherfuckers coming in like this, why the fuck can't I? And I said, all right, I actually gave it 3 weeks because I was going to see. Because...
You was in Hawaii the whole time?
No,
it was San Diego.
First, I was in San Diego. Then I went to Hawaii and started building some stuff out there in Hawaii. That's, I was so big on building a team and stuff. But look, I kid you not, I went out there. The first week, I got my first check. Eli, I used to work at Kids Foot Locker. I worked at Underground, worked at shoe stores. Used to have like a $300 check. My first check was like $2,000 to $3,000. And this was literally in 2-3 days. When I saw that shit, I said, all I'm doing is inviting people to listen to shit and decide they want to drink a damn healthy energy drink. I was like, it can't be no, like, and look, even now, even doing research, I've still been looking at some network marketing companies recently. Like, the network marketing business alone is a couple billion dollar industry. It's like, I had to learn how to make it work for me. Just because it didn't work for somebody else, I was like, man, don't mean it can't work for me. Now, if it didn't, I'm like, all right, if I put in all my effort and actually try, when I seen it work a little bit, that was it. That was a wrap. I was like, hey, I got to get it. And then on top of it taught me personal development. It taught me personal development, actually reading. I got around people that all they said, bro, they ain't asked me what movie I'm going to go see. They said, what book are you reading? I said, huh? They like, bro, if you want to be a leader, you got to be a reader. I hated reading. This is reason I didn't want to go to fucking school. I was like, I learned to love it, though. Like, that's why I'm so hard on my son with reading. People don't understand. He's like,
understand the value of it now.
Yeah, I understand the way more of the value. Because, like, if I was reading how I was back then, I would understand way more. And especially reading stuff I was interested in and stuff that was going to challenge me to change how I view things. And when I got back here, there was one class that helped me grow my whole perspective of everything 10 times more. It was English Composition 2. When I say English Composition 2, it's like, changed my whole thing. It changed everything. Literally, we ain't have to take no tests. We read books and watched movies.
He wanted you to learn.
He's like, if you read it and you watch the movie, or ask questions, you can answer about the questions I'm asking. You ain't got to take a test. If you can't answer, that means you ain't do the work. You learn how to read. You got to take a test. And when we talked about the fucking Matrix, the first movie, and literally asked a question.
I remember my answer, and then somebody came up with a completely different answer. I was like, huh? No, that can't be right. He's like, yes, it is. That's what they do. There's so many different ways to look at their thing, because someone else can pull something out of
vantage point.
Exactly. It's like right. So many different viewpoints from where you're at in life.
Right.
So I was like, damn. That just helped grow my paradigm so much more. I was like, man, I may be seeing this, but they seeing this.
Right.
So now it's just like, instead of just say, hey, you're looking at it wrong, I was like, all right, let me see what you're looking at. How do you looking at this situation? And they give me a different viewpoint, and added perspective. So now I'm like, I got a fuller viewpoint on how other people may view this as well, too.
Yeah. I think, like you said, that just goes back to the transparency in the beginning. Like, yeah, you got to be transparent with your kids and let them know. I feel I was talking to my mom, and I was kind of handling my son, and I was like, what if you raised your child and you came back as your grandchild?
Ooh.
How would that affect how you raise your child? Because that would be the parent that you had. So now, would you want to beat that child knowing that those beatings would probably be passed back down to you? Mm. And so some of the time, we got to really look at that and say, why do you want them to suffer like you did? Just because my mama did it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Nah, I'm not. And I think that was my issue with family members. Like, you know, you weren't my mama, you weren't going to beat me. Yeah. I stopped taking ass whoops
a long time ago. Look.
And that's just what it was going to be with me. And I just wasn't comfortable with that. Like, you can't emotionally pick and choose because I outsmarted you that you going to whoop my ass today.
Nah. Oh, yeah. That's how they. And this would trip me out about that, because I don't even put my hands on my child. I may talk to him a certain way.
Right.
I make maybe do wall sits, push ups, everything else too. But compared to the stuff that y'all did to me, it's a whole 110, like 1,000 times lighter than what y'all was doing. I was like, back then it was child abuse. There ain't no other way to look at it. Y'all want to deny it? Y'all child abuse.
Straight up.
You're hitting somebody with an object. If it was back then, with the rules, you know, the rules actually did apply back then. We just didn't call the people because we were scared to. But
because they used to take, you know, they used to give you the speech. If you call them, you better pack your bags because you can't come back here.
I'm like, well, shit. Now you're trying to call them on me just for telling him to do wall sits. But that's why I see, like, it's the importance of being an entrepreneur in general, because you get to view different things and learn different things you were never taught in school, sometimes by your parents, sometimes by your life, just taking a risk and learning, like, hey, being an entrepreneur may be something completely different that I don't know nothing about, but if I learn something and gain this knowledge on how money works different for other people, I could probably apply that to my life and make it work for me. And that's why I think that's a real big importance of being an entrepreneur. Because I don't believe everybody was meant to work for somebody else. We were meant to follow our own dreams. We got our own purpose in here. But I think really as this generation, learn how to find these kids' purposes and also teach them how to make money from their purpose. Because
I disagree.
Okay.
I don't think that they're mutually exclusive.
Okay.
I think that sometimes your talent can bring you finance, but I think that, like, if you're smart enough, or, you know, not even if you're smart enough, finding the things that can make you money, becoming part of the things for the greater good. You may have a family member that does real estate. Yeah. Me and my mom used to clean houses. We used to have a couple that went to church with us, and they did real estate. And so they had, any given time, 15 to 30 homes, and we would go and clean the homes. So that's how I was going to football camps. That's how we was affording any and everything. And I was there 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and I got to go to school too. So I learned the value of that, you know, understanding time versus the money. So that's kind of what we was talking about earlier. I think if you start your children with thinking what they're going to do for money, that's always going to be the decision maker.
Yeah.
Because we leave this job for more money, but, you know, how much time are you without your family? Benefits, you know, other, you know, perks or whatever that may come with the job. So, you know, I think we kind of, you pick what college you want to go to because of the career you want. Yeah. And the career you want is what you're saying, how you want to make money for your life. And then you plan your life off of your career. Right. And I feel like that's just not what I want to do. I want to plan my life based off what I want to do. And, you know, find ways to make money. There's a lot of ways to make money. There are people who will make money for you. Yeah. So, you know, that's teaching the literacy. And like you said, if you can use your gift or your talent, which I'm sure you can, to be profitable, do it. But I don't think that you maybe have to feel that way, that they may be connected, because, you know, you can kind of maybe do something and find you a lane that you can be profitable enough for what you want to do and live the life you want to live, but be happy because it's not based off financial goal.
I like that. Be good. Yeah.
Speaking of which, you know, while we're on the entrepreneurial route, you know, I'm on my entrepreneurial activities.
You know, so I know. Hey, the boy just showed some shea butter during my show. I think I need a commission, man. I mess with you. We talked about it, boy. Talk about it, Eli. You just said something right there. You said about value. Because look, and piggyback on what basically both of y'all talking about with time and everything too. Because more people want to have more time to do what they want to do. Yeah. So we feed the value in that, because honestly, that's the reason why I haven't moved away yet, because I'm looking at the value of my relationships with my kids. So now I'm looking at it like, okay, yeah, I could have moved out here for more money. But is it worth not seeing my kids every day and have to FaceTime them, not be there, be able to get to them whenever I need to get to them?
But you just hit the nail on the head with the difference between the two words, which we misinterpret, worth and value.
Yeah.
So you can ask a person their net worth and ask that person, are they valuable to me? It'd be worth $1 billion and don't have no damn value to me.
Fact.
So I mean, so we gotta understand that, like you said, you know, the value of doing this, but was it worth it? And like you said, worth is financial to me. Value is something that only you can put. So like what you said is, I'm putting value, I'm creating value, which means that there's a person who will just decide to exchange the value of the time they gave, like you said, whether it's monetary, finance, anything, time, whatever it may be. Because they see the value in it.
Right.
And you can't be upset that somebody saw the value in my stuff and you didn't. That's kind of, don't do that.
Hey, hence what, like when I did Vima. Hey,
right.
Because look, I could see how it looked from the outside. Because I was like, man, what I look like? Like, man, I'm just out here for healthy energy drinks. I was like, telling me not to sell it. It wasn't more of recruiting wise. But also you had customers too, but still I was like, all right, we just moved from a product. All right.
Because what his OG told him
happen. Yeah.
I think my problem with it was, it wasn't that he was doing it, it was the way he was moving after he thought that was what he was gonna do. So exactly what we're saying is, if you basing your life off a job, if that job don't work out, your life ain't gonna work out at that point, because you only here for that reason. Yeah. So he was kind of basing his life off like, that's what I'm telling y'all. I used to go off on dude and just, I'm gonna retire my mama by next year. And I'm like, you don't understand. That's not how that shit works.
Yep.
Like, that's financially not how that shit works. I know you got a couple bands and, you know, we sitting here in the hood throwing around money like this boy think he got some money for real now. And it wasn't that, you know, I wasn't proud of him or wanted him to push to do it, and that was me. I just was going to be the condescending asshole that made you wanted to drive because he didn't think I could do it, because that's why I did it. because I had those people to motivate me. But I think, yeah, I just didn't want them to move based off of that, knowing that it was going to go belly up eventually. And that's basically what happened to the company.
Yeah.
So you would have planned your life on a based off a company that was destroyed. So what does that say for your life? What would happen with that? So that's what that's the way I didn't want him to move. Yeah. So that's kind of what my reasoning for it. But at the time, I was wrong because I was trying to tell him, don't do it. And I don't think that was the right thing to say. I think the better thing to say was probably explain to him the consequences. And I did. I kind of did that. But I think after I explained the consequence, I just made the decision, like, let the shit go.
Yeah. Hey, look, I became, at that point, if you wasn't talking about the business, I ain't give a fuck who you was by. Hey, somebody else. Hey, I was like, hey, man, you got the opportunity. You want to check it out? Oh, no, man. Okay, bye.
But I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I think that's needed in every circumstance
in your life. Oh, yeah. Because, look,
it's the growth.
Yeah. Because
it's the growth. But it's also, it's like, it kind of teaches you, because here's another thing, too, is, like, I really feel like, you know, because I'm going through that right now, it's like, when you're in survival mode, you know, you really can't afford to be.
Yeah. My town. My time was not wasted. Like,
yeah,
my time was, look, my time was like this. If we, look, I was in the Navy while I was doing this shit too.
Yeah.
So I go to work, and while I'm at work, I'm already texting people. I'm even on Tinder swiping, trying to meet up with girls. Like, hey, yeah, man, you want to come to this kickback party and everything too? But look, cause I look at this. Girls get, it's easy for girls to sell stuff sometimes than men. Right. So I wanted my team to have some women on there. But look, I was communicating, trying to set stuff up. Booms for the night event. Like, literally, my life did revolve around Vima for a long time. Even when I went to Hawaii. But think about it, different when I went to Hawaii, I kind of separated from them. So I was like, man, I ain't really going to do it like that. So I doing my own thing. I almost actually gave it up completely. But then I had two people on different sides that actually were helping me make money. So I was like, I ain't really doing shit. I was really collecting that residual income.
Right.
I'm sitting back like,
This is beneficial
to me right now. I went to Vegas. I met E.T. I met Bob Proctor. I met Jim Rowan. No, not Jim Rowan. Seth Rogen. Wait, is that not Rogen? No, what the fuck? The guy, damn.
Clearly wasn't there for him.
Yeah, he wasn't. But now, actually, the second year, we met Jordan Belfort. No, the real Jordan. So I was like, damn. It was kind of cool. He's like, I see these people in the movies. I see these people, like, motivational speaking and helping me change the way I look at different things. So it was, yeah. But it did go belly up. The only thing I wish I would have changed about the whole thing, think about it, I got presented with a new network marketing company right now to give me the opportunity. I actually take the opportunity because I know what I didn't know then.
Right.
Because now I'm like, okay, I got this far with this and I ain't know the game at all. Now I know the game. And this is not something like, yeah, you can make a lot of money with it, but is it something you go quit your job and just do this full time? No, this is just that extra source to give you an extra cushion to help you out. Cause like one of my friends now, he just, the same guy that kind of convinced me about everything 10 years ago, actually. It was 10 years ago. Deadass, Eli, it was 10 years ago. The same guy that introduced me to all that, he just started his own network marketing company. And I've been looking at it, I was like, okay, you've been moving, you've been working, you've been doing your stuff steadily. I'm looking to try to figure out your financial, like the compensation plan. I already asked him what the product's gonna be, I asked him what this, that, and third. But now I'm like this, all right, now I know how to attack this with everything else. I'm like, you never know. When I, if I decide to go that route again, I can help not just me win, because that's what the problem was in the first place. I was just mainly focused on me.
Should be,
but I figured out something too. In that type of business, if you have the other person, you're gonna win regardless. Yep. So, so anybody out there that's ready to get a network marketing, wait soon, college.
But I don't
yeah, oh no, trust me,
you gotta be, yeah.
How you gonna help me?
Hey, look, oh
that
God.
Seems to be the.
That's like the shit that we see on social media nowadays, where now social media has it to where everybody's Influencer millionaire. Yeah. $1 billion This is how you make $1 million.
Yeah. Hey, like, bro, I'm like, bitch, who are you?
There's no transparency.
Yeah.
But it, to me, though, like, my whole issue is, why do I care about making $1 million? You find the value in making $1 million for me. Like, I don't make $1 million right now, but I'm happy. Yeah. So what do you tell me? Yeah. So I think even with the money, like, with entrepreneurship, I think entrepreneurship is great, but then what I started to find is that having your hand in so much stuff is tiring when you enjoy it. So, you know, there's a marginal return, and you decide with your time, you know, how much of it are you willing to give up, you know, for doing what you want to do. So, you know, I don't want the career that makes me $10 million a year and I only get to see my family a month out of that year. I'm okay with that. And I know we all wanted to be ball players, but I look at that different now. I look at the relationships or lack thereof for you to say that, man, if that's what you want, do that. You know, and bear that cross. Don't be talking about all that other stuff. Run it. Like the athletes, you know, that had to deal with what they had to deal with, the Kobe's of the world, they chose to live their life by ball. Yeah. So I'm sure he was not necessarily comfortable, but a lot of people, professional athletes, have to be comfortable with a lifestyle and the people around them because of, you know, what happens with that lifestyle. So hindsight, I'm like, nah, I guess I didn't really want that. Like, I guess I didn't really want to be in position to just not do things. Like you said, just moving away, not being accessible. Like, I'm out the way, but I'm close enough. I was able to get here in an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's value in being close enough. Yeah. But, you know, I be hiding. I stay out the way. So.
Oh, yeah, trust me. I like doing that, too, now. I'm a firm believer in staying out. Hey, like I said, when I came back from school, when I started going into my other part, my door never stopped ringing. Someone's always knocking on my damn door.
Let me ask you a question. So we're on the topic of entrepreneurship, and then how do you feel that it ties in, or how much does it ties in with financial literacy?
Ooh.
You asking me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Me. So ask the question.
So, you know, with entrepreneurship, that's right. the ability to make the money. But, you know, how important or how much does it tie into that, do you think, of teaching how to manage finance? And I was kind of asking it as a hidden question because one of the things that I think is that we focus too much on making a lot of money by not learning how to manage a smaller amount of money and kind of balancing that out.
After them first five years, that's when, you know, really, when you start to be in profit legit, you know, when the IRS start coming for you, that's gonna make you have to get your structure right.
But I mean, okay, so the structure is one thing, like with the finance, but what about the discipline and self-control?
With employees or not employees?
Nah, with you personally. Let's say what we're talking about is if we're looking at these on a weighted scale,
right?
which one do you think maybe is either more important, or how would you put the percentage of how, like, if you could only teach your kid one, which one would maybe be the more important one? The entrepreneurship of how to make money, or teaching them how to manage money and or learn how to, you know, learn financial literacy versus learning how to make more money? Which one would you kind of maybe focus on?
I'm going to go to an unorthodox approach. I would say how to make money.
Okay.
The reason why I say that is because, so typically, you know, as young men, you know, I know people think they have $100,000. I'm not there yet. We'll get there eventually. But it's not okay. What I start to see with older men is that eventually, even if they made a couple million, a couple hundred thousand, with time, they eventually learn. Whether somebody coached them or whether somebody taught it to them, with time, you know, they reach 30, 35, 40 years old. With time, they eventually got it. Yep. They eventually got the 401k. They eventually got the shit, but at the end of the day, they learn how to survive. Okay. So I feel like, okay, in our sense, so in my sense, you know, I wish I would have learned how to make the money first, because I have a lot of this, I have the discipline, I have the mindset. Already, which is okay, but where I lacked was, okay, I didn't know how do I attain the things that I need to survive. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that, because I didn't have like a dad, okay, look, this is what you do, this is how you get a job, this is how you make a resume, this is how you go fish, this is how you gonna make something happen when you have no support, no nothing. Okay. So I'd rather have that, because, you know, when a parent dies, it's on you.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd rather do that, because with time, you know, most people learn anyway. And just like you said, you was my age, you made it back, but fast forward to what, how many?
34.
Yeah, so fast forward 10 plus years, yeah. Almost 10 plus years later, you learned it.
Right.
So that's my thing. It's like,
yeah, you know, now you know how to go get it.
Regardless, with time, you're going to learn it. But when it comes to somebody like myself,
right.
Most entrepreneurs, like, you know, like, it's on us. So, it starts with us first.
So let me tell you what scares me, though. And like I said, this goes from a matter of opinion.
Right.
How much time did I waste before I learned it?
That's true.
So, you know, I feel like quality of life could have changed drastically based off knowing how to maneuver a certain type of way. So not having to make this much money, because I know how to manage the little bit I have. So like you said, I took the check. I was good after I got the check. I invested the check.
Right.
So, you know, like you said, that was entrepreneurship. But then after that was over with, and it was, man, shout out to Mitch. Boy, I remember, I'm gonna take you to work. We got 16 miles left, and we're going to make a sale, and this going to happen, and we're going to manage this amount of money based off this, and this one's going to get us there. And it was the discipline of not spending money on certain things in order to basically not have a dip in quality of life. I think that if you don't know how to manage money and you can make it, when you're not able to make it on that level because of whatever unforeseen circumstance, the car market is bad. A lot of markets are bad because of supply. Your ability is not that you don't know how to make money, but you can't make it at the rate that you did. So now what's the quality of life? How do we live now versus saying, man, I don't know how to live off less because I know how to make so much. I think that was the problem with hustling. I was so frustrated. I'm broke. I got to let you talk to me some kind of way because I ain't got my own money right now. Yeah. And that would frustrate you. And I believe the emotion make you make bad decisions at that point. And so I think that learning to get money, they kind of teach you that in school. They don't teach you how to do it for yourself,
right.
But you know, they teach you that in a sense. So I think that if we teach our kids financial literacy, we maybe don't have to put them in position to try to go feel like they have to go make that amount of money. We maybe don't push them to have to go and do this because, like you said, I made a lot of money. What you got to show for it? And how much time did you waste?
So had I been smarter, maybe I would have not made as much, but I would have averaged out holding on to more. Yeah. And I would have maybe been further along.
Because it's not about how much you make, it's how much you keep.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom.
Yes, sir. Man. Dang, man. Y'all, this has been a great episode. But y'all already know it's time. It's about that time we got to go because I got another episode coming in another 15 minutes. But y'all, I got to tell y'all something that my mentor told me back when I was in this network marketing organization. Look, because honestly, their advice, they give you great advice for life, not even just for that business, but for life. And if you have this mindset, you can really do whatever you want to do and attack your goals the same way. I just started applying that now to everything else I want to do. But look, there's three types of people in the world, and everybody's one of them. There's a person that's going to make things happen, going to watch things happen, and third one will be like, yo, what the fuck just happened? Either you're going to pick which one you want to be. And it's up to you to decide which route you take. But if you never get up and even decide to step out there and try, man, you just in that rat race and you're living that journey of the broke, you know. Poor is the mindset. Broke is the situation. I ain't got it today, but I have tomorrow. So, man, learn some financial literacy. If y'all need to reach out to these people right here, man, reach out to them. Especially if you need a house, reach out to this guy right here, Eli. If you need a car, reach out to this guy right here, Anthony. Man, dang it. The car and the house, that's basically what most people need. Hey, most people need. Hey. Yeah. But, man, look, y'all, come up with a plan, stick to it, talk to y'all families, figure out how y'all can work together to achieve a attainable goal. And then after y'all achieve that attainable goal, then reach another goal. And let's stop with the BS. Stop with the egotistical way of living and admit when you're wrong, parents. You can, y'all, isn't, hey, like I said, it's never too late to teach an old dog a new trick. Stop being that old dog. Get y'all butt off that couch and let's get it. But like I said, this is time to wrap up this episode. I got to tell y'all, man, I thank y'all for coming on. Oh, yeah. Anthony, thank you. This is my big cousin, y'all, amazing big brother. Thank you for coming on. Eli, welcome back from Cali. Going back to the...
Cali love is insane.
Oh, yeah. Look, we all been to Cali. Well, I'm listening over right now. Look, one thing I learned about Cali... Look, the women out there, I'm just going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's just like going to Miami. Miami and Cali, yeah, is the same place. Hey, y'all over thinking y'all top notch where y'all at, go to Cali or Miami. I guarantee you, it'd be a humbling experience.
Miami and Cali.
Oh, you took a two. Hey, share
first trip.
Hey,
hey,
I'm letting you know. Hey, me and Miami and Cali go about good relationships. But I don't kiss
that.
Yeah, he don't kiss it.
I'm retired. Yo.
I am retired as well.
Retired.
Hey, but if the blonde hair Super Saiyan version of me having to came back, Miami, I'm coming back. With a vengeance. Ooh. I hit some famous shit. In both spots. I ain't talking about no regular famous shit. I mean some famous shit. But I ain't gonna talk about that. That's a whole nother episode. But y'all, thank y'all. Love y'all. Like I say before I always leave, dream big dreams, because small dreams have a little magic. And how big would you dream if you know you couldn't fail? And last but not least, like I always say, y'all do y'all best and let God take care of the rest. So peace, love, happiness. Yo, y'all.
I know that I'm different, self-motivated, self-disciplined, yeah. I learned from my experience, I just want someone to take me serious. Real questions that I